Would you please stand as you are able for the reading of today's scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, in these weeks after Easter, we think a little bit about how the Jesus life continues in this world. Once upon a time, when I was a younger pastor and was less patient and more full of myself, I was serving a church that the leadership faced a really, really tough situation. Not long after being appointed there, not long into my tenure as pastor, I discovered how an employee had been embezzling money for years and years. It was a lot of money. And so we were trying to figure out how we were going to handle that. And it seemed to settle out into two camps. There was those who said, we shouldn't do anything. We should just ask them to resign. We shouldn't tell the church. We should just act like this never happened. And then there was the other camp, which consisted of me, which said, I think the church deserves to know what happened to the money they've been giving all these years and all of this. And it was a hard situation. There was no easy answer to it. And tensions rose and frustrations got high. And someone in that meeting looked at me and said, well, you know, Jesus would just forgive them and let them go. And in my frustration, I responded, well, if you haven't noticed, I ain't Jesus. We were both immediately embarrassed at our immaturity in that situation. Too often we use the idea of the Jesus life as a punchline, don't we? Or as an excuse to judge someone or excuse to blame someone, a defense for something we've done that we don't quite feel as good about as we'd like to. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. If you were a better Christian, I think that kind of falls under that third commandment, don't take the Lord's name in vain. The Jesus life is supposed to continue in us. That's how Jesus continues to live in the world, but we live the Jesus life always very well aware that we ain't Jesus. In this text, we get a glimpse of what it was like to be a first century disciple. When the letter to the Romans was written, it's the mid-50s of the first century. The first gospel, Gospel of Mark, is just now being written, being put together in the form that the early church would have it. The councils that gave the creeds that we still use today are still long way in the future. For those first followers of Jesus, what it meant to be a Christian was you lived the Jesus life. You believed that in Jesus, God came to this world and gave us forgiveness and grace and love, did what we couldn't do for ourselves, and then we lived into it and lived like Jesus. I love this passage of Scripture. I don't know about you, but every time I read it, and I love to hear it read, It sounds to me like a description of the life of Jesus. Did you capture the vocabulary Paul chooses to say what a Christian life should look like? Love, sincerity, devotion, respectful of others, passionate, joyful, patient, faithful, generous, hospitable, rejoicing when people are rejoicing and mourning with people who weep, people who look for harmony, who live in humility, who are not vengeful, who work for peace. It's a beautiful life, isn't it? What a beautiful life he describes. Paul is saying to everyone who follows Jesus, that is the life we should strive for. That is the life we should pray for in our own lives. Not in other people's lives, in our own life. Paul writes about this life because he knows that living such a life matters. He knows that that kind of life has the power through the Holy Spirit to change other people's lives. Paul knows that a life lived like that leads other people to Jesus. And that's what our life is supposed to be all about. That kind of life brings hope to the hopeless. That kind of life brings comfort to the grieving. That kind of life leads the searching and wandering souls home in God's love. I love that it's Paul who gives us this picture of the Jesus life, because no one would have known how hard that would be to live than him. He learned the hard way. The only way you can live the Jesus life is to be changed, for God to change us. Remember, Paul, before he was Paul, was Saul. And he was the poster child Pharisee. He put rules before people at every opportunity. He judged people at every opportunity. He sought to harm people by arresting them because they followed Jesus at every opportunity. He looked down on people. He thought much of himself and little of anyone else. That life was the opposite of the life he describes here. But something happened to him. One day on the road to Damascus to do all those things I just said, he meets the risen Jesus. And he's changed. And then immediately he meets a man named Ananias who lived the Jesus life so completely that he was willing to go heal the man who was on the way to arrest him and take him to prison. And then he meets a man named Barnabas who lived the Jesus life so completely that on his word alone, the church accepted Paul as a Christian. On his word alone. Paul knew the power of a life lived like a Jesus life. So it's good from time to time to take a moment and think of those people who lived that kind of life for us, whose life led us to Jesus and led us to faith. It's good for us every now and then to stop and think about the people who right now live that kind of life and inspire us to serve faithfully. We should give thanks to God for those folks. And we should also realize that it's our time to be those folks. Not just for ourselves, not just for our church, but for the world. When we live a life that looks like Romans 12, 9 through 18. The Jesus life. God uses us to bless the world. It's a joy to do that together. and our world needs it now more than ever before. May we live lives that continue the Jesus life for those around us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.